Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, here we go. Pro football, full circle. Coming at you right here, hour number two. Mike Carver joins Joe Lisi and George Kurtz right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, channel 159. Day after the Los Angeles Rams win Super Bowl 56, 23-20. It was a good night for me. You know, listen, a lot of props came in, had the Rams, had the under. It was a very good night. I know you guys have been talking about it here in the first hour. Joe, how are you doing, my man? What's going on?
Doing good, Carver. We covered the 4.5. I bought Cincinnati up as high as 9.5 in game.
Ooh.
Didn't get the outright victory, and the over screwed me. But we hit some of our props over 2.5. We got four players to throw a pass, right? We got Stafford sacked first, which was good. You know, a couple of things came through yesterday. Not as good as I wanted, but I'll take it all in all.
Yeah, the four players actually threw the pass. We actually thought, Joe, you know, I know the whole world was like, oh, they threw one on the PAT. That does not count towards the bet. And everybody was very upset. That's not an official throw in the game, but it doesn't matter because we got paid off anyway.
Right.
And Joe Mixon threw that touchdown pass to Higgins, and then Kupp ends up throwing a pass as well. So we were very good in that one in terms of players other than quarterbacks throwing the football. If only we did the touchdown one, Joe, because the touchdown, player to throw a touchdown was a very, very pricey nugget.
I know. I didn't feel confident about that. I wasn't sure they were going to do it inside the red zone. But, you know, credit Zach Taylor. I will say this. I brought this up on Pro Football Today throughout the week. We had Jay Cornegay on, head of the Westgate, in terms of the prop bet. So Wetzel was bashing me in terms of the two-point conversion attempt. And I said, Jay, specifically, if the snap on an extra point gets botched and the punter or kicker runs out and throws a pass incomplete, are you counting that as a two-point conversion? He goes, absolutely not. I said, well, then Wetzel's yelling at me. And I said, well, with Scott, but then in the break, if they can convert the two-point conversion, then they got to count it. But you're telling me if they throw the incompletion on the PAT, you're not going to count it? How does that work?
That was some very gray area. And George, we talked about this prop a lot last week in terms of the team going for two, which I was very into. Now, some books paid it out, Joe.
Right.
Because let's be fair here. There's a very gray area for the books because on that particular play, it's the worst possible thing that can happen to them there because they're clearly lining up to the 1 point extra point and the snap goes bad and all hell breaks loose. Because, you know, I was also on to miss the extra point, which was basically a guy had to kick a ball and physically get in the air and miss. So, I mean, I was going to get one of them on a play like that happening. But, George, that's a very gray area that I know that they need to probably do a little better job in explaining a situation like that because both of those bets could have easily hit on that botched snap.
I understand where they'll go with it. I think Joe's right, by the way, on this. So I agree. I mean, once again, if it's botched or not, it should count. But how about this? Another situation that could happen. You know, what if they're going to do a fake on the extra point? You know, I mean, a literal fake. Not this one was botched. But what if they fake it? You know, the holder gets it. He throws a pass on purpose. Are you still not counting it? Are you still, you know, what do we do then? And I understand it's I don't know if it's ever happened, but it will happen eventually. Someone's going to do something stupid like that. What's going to happen then? You have to cover all situations that could happen in this game here. Like I said, I just find that strange that I don't care that it was botched. The guy did attempt to throw a pass, so therefore it was an attempted two-pointer. He attempted to go for a two-pointer. He didn't just sit down and die. I understand if the holder just, you know, he cradles and goes, oh, don't kill me, you know, fine. Right. But he threw a pass. So once you throw that pass, that's an attempt at a two-pointer.
Carver.
Yeah, Joe.
I want to see the coach that attempts the 31-yard. I want to sit down with that guy and buy him a steak and a
beer. Maybe your kicker
hurt. The coach, the steel stones that says, you know what, we're going to line up for the 31-yard extra point. And by the way, we're going to fake it. I want to sit down with that guy.
It really should have been.
He wants to show it on film.
It really should have been graded as they missed the 1 point, extra point. That's how I feel.
I could go with that too. That's a compromise. I could go with that.
Because it is true. Going for a 2 point conversion attempt should be when they spot the ball on the 2 yard line, which is a traditional. A team comes out and says, we're going for two, put the ball on the two, please. That's a traditional 2 point conversion attempt. This was a 1 point PAT that was missed. I would have paid those people as opposed to the going for two people, but you're going to have people upset on either side no matter what you do there. So that's where maybe they need to do a better job, maybe in terms of just wording some prop bets like that in the future, because I'm sure they found themselves having a very tough situation with a lot of customers last night.
I'm sure there were a lot of fans irate last night. Can you imagine? Can you see, like, dude, I hit the 2 point. Dude, I hit the 2 point conversion, man. Well, he's at the party eating his Cheetos and his corn chips. Dude, look right here, man.
He's smoking something, too, with that voice.
Dude.
Pro football full circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, and George Kurtz here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. There was another prop controversy. I don't know if you guys talked about it in the first hour. We'll talk about it when we come back. We keep rolling. Sports Grid Radio. We got Blewett coming up later on, too. A lot to do. We're back on the grid after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Pro football full circle coming at you right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM channel 159. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, George Kurtz here with you. Blewett in a little while. Apparently Blewett with the big lottery ticket last night on the correct score bet. So we're going to have to get Blewett in here to tell us how he concocted that one and a lot more. So there was another prop controversy at the end of this football game last night, besides the whole two-point conversion attempt, missed extra point nonsense that happened with the Rams. And that was the Matthew Stafford rushing yards prop. So as you guys know, Stafford was listed as 5.5 for his rush pretty much everywhere. I mean, I didn't see it not 5.5 at any book. And he had a 7-yard scramble in the first half, did not run the football again the rest of the game. After the Rams stopped the Bengals on fourth down there with, in the final minute of the game, Rams get the football. Stafford goes and kneels. Sure looked to me and many others that his kneel was a lot more than 1 yard. And Cincinnati does not call timeout, which means Stafford basically doesn't give the ball to anybody and starts, you know, celebrating and walking off the field. So if Cincinnati calls timeout, it's probably definitely going to go back under the 5.5. They only credit him for 1 yard on the kneel down, which gets his rushing total to 6 and keeps him over the 5.5. A lot of people with, you know, some people had the under, they were upset. Some people sweated very much with the over 5.5. It's just a very tough situation because, you know, this is big business now. And the NFL is involved in this big business. And people want to see things on the up and up. And when the guy clearly went back more than a yard, did the kneel down, and you only gave him one because everybody started running on the field and celebrating. Yeah, insignificant to the game, but not insignificant to the bettors, George. Not insignificant at all.
Definitely not. Now, on the benefit of this, I didn't realize there was controversy. I wasn't paying attention. We were on air, so I wasn't paying attention to how far he actually went back. But I do remember thinking, oh, God, Cincinnati has a timeout left. Please, for the love of God, don't call this timeout.
Yeah.
I'm actually surprised they didn't, by the way.
No controversy.
Why wouldn't you call a timeout? You know, but, yeah, because then he would have lost another yard and we wouldn't be talking about this. So I'm sure the NFL would see, they would have called that timeout as well. So you're right. I mean, you do have to get it correct. I want to watch this replay. I can't believe I want to watch a kneel down to see how far back he went now, but I actually do. To see, was it actually 2 yards that I get? How lucky did I get here? Mm-hmm. So you're right. I mean, there are a lot of things that have to be more, I guess, tightened up now because, you know, betting's legal in New York. We can know we can do it. You know, Carver and I, it's legal now in so many states. FanDuel, yay, we're all doing it. You got to get it right. Got to get it right. And because let's face it, I'm happy. But if I was on the other, if I had the under, I'd be livid right now. I'd be flipping out.
Absolutely.
Joe, so, you'd be. They got to tighten it up.
Joe, you'd be upset, man. I mean, there's too much money involved here, and the league is too involved in it that things got to be on the up and up.
I think we should have an independent replay guy, like me in the booth, because I'd be boop, 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 screw everybody. Get it out. Let's review it. Where did the knee go down? Right, I would be back and forward. But you know how they do the forward and back scene where Stafford put the knee. I mean, this is what bothers me about the NFL in terms of this, because the ticky tack things that they're so minute on, right? That all of a sudden come out of left field with these calls, something like that that's so visible, we're gonna spot it a yard. I mean, come on. And now I got to look at this play because I want to see how
we got Blewett next, chipping the ball.
What did he say?
Blewett's a big fan of chipping the ball. And he's right.
Ball.
I mean,
chipping the ball. Blewett's been on that for years. Has a chip in the ball. I have I connected with a gentleman that designed a chip in the ball.
Really?
Along with the first down laser marker. So we should have him on the show one day. That would be interesting.
First down laser marker. I like that show.
Screw the chains. We're going to do lasers.
Dude!
I'm all for dude!
Think about how idiotic it is that we have 60-year-old men running across the field with chains. Are you kidding me? Let me think about it. What year are we in? We're in 2000.
I don't know.
Same thing we've been using for 100 years. This is a joke.
But you're like a ref in hockey. You're a 60-year-old dude skating around for, like, high school kids. Why is
I don't have a chain. See, it's a smaller field. Think about how stupid the NFL is. You have these guys running on the sideline, not the chain gang, the referees, who aren't anywhere near where the play ends up. They're at least 30 yards away. They're going to run up the sideline, then they run across the field to spot the ball. It is so idiotic. Don't you guys find it hilarious in a two-minute warning? Everybody's in a rush now because you don't want the clock to stop. Rush, rush, rush. A player, any player, catches the ball. They always spot it a yard ahead. And you see clearly he caught the ball at, let's say, the 30, but the player spots the ball at the 31, 31 and a half. And the ref will come along, and he wants to get done real quickly. He'll put it back maybe 3 feet to the 31. It's still a yard ahead of where it was. I find that hilarious. It's like, no one saw this? I mean, are we all blind here? Does no one care? I mean, it's a joke. It's just a joke to me that we have these guys who are going to – someone's going to die of a stroke one day running across the field, and then they use these chain gangs. We had the ref in Oakland a couple of years ago. He's checking with an index card. I mean, I'm just laughing. And it was a Cowboy game. Worked in my favor. They gave him the first. I'm just laughing. But I'm laughing. I'm like, really? An index card? That's where we are now? An index card. I'm with Blewett, man. Put a chip in the ball. Let's get Lisi's laser guy here. Let's go. But the NFL is just, they have some owners who are so damn cheap, including Brown of the Bengals, by the way, that's why they refuse to do it. It's the cheapness. Even though they make billions upon billions, they don't want to spend the money to do this.
I want to get Carver's take on something, Carver, because we brought it up, just overall thoughts about the Super Bowl. What did you feel? I mean, honestly, did you feel? I want to know your honest opinion about the penalties at the end of the game. I mean, I know you were on the right side. You were grateful for it. But be honest. Garbage call on Cup?
Well, there was a couple of calls down there at the end
of the
game.
We're talking about mainly the hold.
The hold, I firmly believe, is a straight-up makeup call for the Higgins touchdown.
Correct. At that time, though? At that time?
Well, look, I understand that, but, I mean, the Higgins touchdown, I mean, do they get a touch? Do they go 75 yards on that, you know, down the field
without
the way
that
they played in the second half without that play happening? Do they score a touchdown in the second half without that play happening the way they were playing?
Well, let me ask you this. The first Ja'Marr Chase reception, Jalen Ramsey, was mugged him. And
okay,
there's
but
no
he caught the
there's
ball.
A no call there.
But he caught the ball anyway, so it didn't matter.
Yeah,
so
but was it
that brought up a Wetzel? But I wonder, Wetzel brought up a point here, and maybe he's I don't know. And by the way, I agree with Joe on this. He was mugged. He was tackled. I do wonder if there would have been a flag that came down late if he doesn't catch it. We've seen that a bunch.
Maybe.
All of a sudden, that flag does come down because he didn't catch the ball here. I think Wetzel brought that up, and maybe he's right there. But if that would have been a no call, that would have been, oh, boy.
I just felt that I thought the officials did a good job. They let them play for the most part. I don't like games where there's 400 flags thrown, and I thought it was good that the refs, for the most part, let them play. They had two really big misses. You know, they completely missed the Higgins Ramsey play with the 75-yard touchdown, and the hold was extremely questionable. I didn't think the other flags on that last drive were questionable. I mean, I thought that it was actually a good play by, I believe it was Apple, that flat-out tackled Cup going to the corner.
Nothing
in the
to lose, yeah.
He knows he was going to catch it, so pull them down and let's keep taking our cracks at it at the one. You know, I thought that Torbert and his crew did, for the situation that they're in, where we get so upset at refs to begin with, that they did a fairly good job.
I have no problem. Even the missed face mask. If you're going to let him play, let him play. It doesn't bother me at all then. But then you can't call that hold. You can't call it then.
Yeah, the hold was,
if you're going to let him play, let them play.
Yeah. The hold was very tough. It was tough, you know? But I thought for overall they did a pretty decent job. All right, Pro Football Full Circle, Carver, Lisi, and Kurt, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We'll come back, keep rolling on the grid right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Pro Football Full Circle coming at you right here on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM. Channel 159, as we have the Super Bowl day after. It's always a tough day for all of us, whether you won or lost last night. The end of the football season, always tough. The games to actually put some tickets on. We got a long road to go. Always a lot of football news, but a long road to go until we get to go to the window again for the NFL.
207
days. Oh, there you go. George Kurtz with the numbers right there. 207 days. Carver, Kurtz, and Lisi with you right here. And we're joined right now, our boy, Blue. Mike Blewett, of course, here on the grid, Pro Football Today on Sunday mornings. And Blue, you're in high demand today because these correct score props are like all the rage right now on all the books. And you, my friend, are the beneficiary of one of those great correct score props. Congratulations, buddy.
Well, thank you. I certainly wish I had hit the 600 grand that ticket that's floating around from last week. I wish I had hit that. But look, I broke down the game the way I thought I was going to break down the game. I was really consistent. George was on air with me for 2 hours yesterday. I said 23-20 over and over again. And then I just thought, you know what? I had a couple of hours in between the time our show ended and the time the game kicked off. I figured, what's $20? I'll just throw $20 on this thing and put my money where my mouth is, literally, and it hit. Thank God for Johnny Hecker fumbling the snap on the extra point. Otherwise, I lose it by a point.
Yeah, great for you, Blue. Nostradamus, we're going to be calling you, but maybe not so good for you, okay? Because today's Valentine's Day, baby, so you put the two G's in your pocket, and now instead of watching Roku and taking your girl out to Golden Corral, you got to ante up. What's the plans for tonight, baby?
Well, plan number one is you don't tell them exactly how much you wagered on it so you can hedge. A little bit, so maybe cut that amount in half. No, look, we're going to celebrate a little bit. We celebrated yesterday. We'll celebrate a little bit more. I'm happy to share my winnings with the family. And by the way, when you have a wife and two little kids and a puppy, is it really your money?
Never.
No.
Right. That's right.
Mikey,
someone
who
had the exact same life as you, it's definitely not. as far as that's concerned, I can't even hide. My wife's in the other room listening anyway. She knows how much I won or lost for that matter. I think I won a whole $18 yesterday. I can get myself a pizza. I think my wife will allow me to indulge in that for myself here. So I guess this one. Congrats, Mike. That's great. Now, I'm going to have a little fun here. You and Cardano have been going at it with Matthew Stafford. Tell me about this.
So I put out a tweet a few months ago when Stafford had come off a really good game. It was Monday, September 27th, so I'd have to even go back and check who it is that they played the day before. But all I did, and obviously there's a little bit of sarcasm to it, so they had just beaten, I guess, the Texans or somebody along those lines. It was, and I said, how are all of you, Stafford isn't a big upgrade from Goff folks doing this fine Monday morning? And it was just a simple example of all of the things that you and I had talked about, that it's not me beating up on Jared Goff. Enough people are doing that. But the folks that didn't think Stafford was an upgrade to Goff and would allow Sean McVay to do some of the things that he wanted to do, I thought they were way off. I think Stafford is clearly better than Goff. I thought it was an upgrade. I think that upgrade actually helped them win the Super Bowl. Why Sean McVay slammed the running backs into the line of scrimmage 23 times for 43 yards, I can't answer that question based on yesterday. But Matt Stafford is a Super Bowl champ. He engineered a 15-play, 79-yard touchdown drive to win it. And I think that people are out there saying, he's just a victim of circumstance and he got lucky. I think they're off. I think Matt Stafford is a better quarterback than some segment of the football watching population gives him credit for. And I'm glad he has the hardware. I'm not some super fan. I just think people don't recognize that he's better than he's been given credit for. And the Lions was more a victim. He was more a victim of his circumstances in Detroit, which is an organization that hasn't won anything. Hasn't won a playoff. They've won one playoff game in 57 seasons, let alone championships. They haven't won a championship since the 50s.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, they're acting like he's Brad Johnson or Trent Dilfer. I mean, that's hardly the case here with Stafford winning the Super Bowl. I mean, Mike, combined regular season and playoffs, he threw 50 touchdown passes. I mean, that's
right.
That's exactly probably right. More than I'd bet Dilfer and Brad Johnson had combined in their two Super Bowl years. So
right, and Carver, if that Skowronek interception, I don't blame him for
it.
I think Skowronek let up on the route, and it tipped off his hands. He might have well turned around and handed it to Elouzier. And honestly, that drive getting truncated, it was the first play of the drive. Let's say that even ends, it results in a punt, but Matt Stafford has a couple of more throws in there. He is likely to throw for 300 yards, three touchdowns, and one interception. That is the stat line of a Super Bowl MVP. I don't really have an issue with Kupp getting it, but if you told me that Cooper Kupp would be under both of his high-profile prop bets for 8 catches and 92 yards, both under where they're at on FanDuel, DraftKings, and other sports books, I would have said you're crazy that he was going to win the Super Bowl MVP. But the second touchdown and the key touchdown obviously wins the game. So it is what it is as far as the MVP is concerned. But Stafford played a worthy game yesterday. I think he got a bad break on the one pick.
What did you think about Zach Taylor on the final drive, Blue? Did you think that he made a mistake going with Samaje Perine on 3rd-and-1? I mean, you have Burrow cooking at that point. I understand you want to get the first down, but, I mean, you could run the football on 4th down at that particular time. I mean, you had Chase, you had Boyd. Burrow was in a rhythm there.
I don't disagree, but he was getting cooked, too. They could not withstand the Rams' pass rush at that point. You think sometimes in those situations the defense is getting tired. They look like they were getting stronger and the offensive line was getting worse. They took the lead 20-13 off of that interception that we just talked about. They didn't move the ball at all. 8 plays for 11 yards, so they didn't move the ball and kicked a field goal. From that time on, and that's about halfway through the third quarter, I would say. Let me see. Yeah, that's 10 minutes left in the third quarter. Punt, punt, punt. Punt downs. So they had 1, 2, 3, 4 punts, and they ended the game on downs. Didn't move the ball at all. Totally ineffective offensively. Do I question some of the play calling? yes, but I also just questioned their inability to protect him all throughout the game. We knew how bad their offensive line was going in. It was a key factor in the game. It led to them losing the Super Bowl, and they obviously have to address it next year.
You know, Mike, Joe Lisi asked Carver at the top of the hour this question. I'll ask you now, what'd you think about the officiating, specifically the holding call on Kupp?
I think it is a soft holding call. I do not think that you cannot I don't think it was not a penalty at all. I think it was a soft call, which some people will question because they let them play throughout most of the game. But six flags on the whole in the game is a win for us as fans. They obviously missed a blatant offensive pass interference penalty on Higgins, on Ramsey, for Higgins on Ramsey. By the way, I had a T. Higgins over prop, so I'm not as upset about it as some people might be. But I just think that, yes, it was a key point in the game. No, I don't think the pitch was in. I think that if you're having contact with the most high-profile wide receiver in the NFL this year, you might likely get a call. He tugged on him a little bit. I prefer to let the guys play. But I think on the whole, this playoffs, with the exception of the Dallas game, George, I'll give you that, the officials have held on to flags. It's made the games more entertaining. And I would say for the whole, this playoffs is about as entertaining a season as we have ever seen in the playoffs.
You know, we had a couple of prop controversies in the game, Mike. And this is the kind of stuff that, you know, going forward, the NFL is so in bed now with all these sports books and sports gambling that they're going to have to clean some of this stuff up. And I know a lot of people thought that Stafford on that kneel down went more than 1 yard. The total's 5.5. He had 7 rushing yards, and they only credit him -1. It sure looked like he went more than 1 yard back, got up, and started celebrating on the field. I know it's an insignificant play, Mike, that means absolutely nothing, but when there's big dollars being bet on all these props and the NFL's a partner now, they got to clean it up a little bit more, Mike. That's all I'm saying going forward.
Shout out to Zach Taylor for not calling the timeout, preventing yeah. Stafford from taking a second kneel down. He could have called the timeout. They had a timeout in their pocket. So Stafford would have had another kneel down, and you would have lost that bet. So the half-yard covers. Carver, I'm with you. They got to be all over it. They got to be tight as a drum on these things. But to those that had the Stafford over, good for you. Send Zach Taylor a little bit of that money because he didn't call that timeout at the end of the game.
It is amazing. It really is. Mike, great job, my man. We're hitting up with the break. Congratulations on the big hit. 23-20. Tremendous job with the correct score call for the Rams and the Bengals. We'll talk to you soon, Mikey. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a good week.
You too, Mike.
There's our boy, Blue, right
big
there.
Big boy, Blue.
Your boy,
big
Blue.
John Studd.
Joe, did you play any of those correct score props? You play
I did pick a couple. I had 28-23 Cincy, 30-24 Cincy, and 31-24 Cincy. So.
Yeah, because you were upset they weren't offering 42-35 or whatever it was that you wanted to put in. You wanted to put in 42-35 or something.
Come
like
on.
That. What? You were looking for that. They didn't offer numbers that high. Sorry. Pro Football Full Circle. Carver, Lisi, and Kurt, Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, channel 159. We'll come back. We keep rolling on the grid. Super Bowl 56 recap after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Pro Football Full Circle. Carver, Lisi, and Kurtz here with you. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM. Channel 159. Good to have you with us here today. As the Rams are Super Bowl champions after the 23-20 win over the Bengals yesterday. I guess the word is starting to get around, George, with Beckham. Who, and by the way, I'll say this about the game. It was a close game. There was drama down to the end. I have a feeling that the game changed when Beckham got hurt and that the Rams would have ran him out of the building if he didn't get hurt. That's honestly my feeling. I thought that was where the game was trending. I feel like the game changed when Beckham came out. Rams couldn't do as much offensively, and I think that they win by double digits if Beckham doesn't get hurt. That's just my opinion.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't know if I'd use the term running out of the building, but it certainly was trending that way. It took them a long time to figure out how to cover, right, for Beckham. That one interception we keep talking about, Skowronek, that Blewett thinks was he stopped short of the route. I agree with Mike as well. I think he did stop short. That ball was probably never thrown if Beckham's still in the game. All right, so, yeah, I think Beckham being hurt was a huge loss there, and now it's being reported. Ian Rappaport saying that he has a torn ACL, which and Joe Lisi and I talked about in the first hour, that, boy, means he's not going to have the surgery for a couple of weeks, so the swelling goes down now. He'll sign with somebody, Mike, but he's going to start the season on PUP. It's the same knee now as well that you just told me, so I don't know if that's good or bad if it's the same knee. I guess you'd rather have it the same, but I don't know how they're going to repair that. If he had a patella graft the first time, they're not going to do it again. He doesn't have a patella left. They take the middle part of your patella if it's a patella graft. So, boy, it complicates things. He'll be 30 years old about midway through next season. So we'll see here. And then you throw in that Michael Gallup, also torn ACL. Chris Godwin, torn ACL. That's three big free agent wide receivers all going to come into next season with a huge question mark.
Yeah, and Joe, the hard part is like he's a free agent. I mean, he's going to, and off of the finish that he had with the Rams this year, regular season and postseason, he was probably going to get some money, some decent money. And now he's going to have to take, a one-year deal, a little money as he rehabs and hopes that he comes back at some point next season and can have the same kind of finish he had this year. That's the very unfortunate thing. Whether you like Beckham or not, I mean, that sucks. The guy was playing great. Was having an unbelievable first quarter in the Super Bowl, too. And for that to happen, Joe, you hate to see it. You really do.
Yeah, you do hate to see it. But, I mean, he's a Super Bowl champ, caught a touchdown. I think it's, I hate to say bittersweet, but I think he could accept it a little bit more, right? If they would have lost and he got knocked out in the first half and didn't score and didn't get his ring, then obviously it becomes a little bit longer of a rehab. You're starting to second guess. You're starting to think. But now, obviously, they get Robert Woods back, so they can make, if they want to re-sign him and just wait for him to get healthier, can't they do that, L.A.?
I think that that's actually...
How is he going to sign for?
But I think that's the most logical thing for him to do now.
Agreed.
Is just, you re-sign with L.A. for... I mean, look, he had some kind of crazy incentive deal with them here where he got, $750K every... playoff win than a million with
the
Super
Bowl. He actually ended up making more money, by the way.
Yeah.
He made more money with this than if he would have stayed in Cleveland because of all these incentives. Go figure.
Yeah. So I think the safest thing for him is he obviously has a connection out there now. Take whatever you can work out with them to get paid for the rehab year. Hopefully come back at some point to make a contribution down the stretch. And then, then maybe you show everybody you're healthy and then you get the big money. It sucks, but unfortunately, that's kind of the way that it goes sometimes in the NFL. The other guy, and he wasn't the only guy. I mean, the Rams were losing guys left and right. I mean, Blanton couldn't play. They were down to some real stiffs out there on the field in that second half. I mean, honestly, the tight end, the third or fourth string tight end that they brought in, I mean, that kid Skowronek, he stinks.
Were you sweating, Corbin?
Yes. I mean, look, obviously, I wanted the Rams to win, and on that long 15-play drive where they finished it off, yeah, there was times where I thought, they don't score here, they're not winning this football game. I really thought it, because the defense was doing so much. I actually thought the defense was going to need to make the play. I thought they needed all those sacks they were getting on Burrow. I thought on one of them they were going to need to knock the ball out of his hands and give them some big field position, Joe. That's where I was thinking.
I was shocked that there was not a fumble in the game at all. And I was on that total, plus 132 in the first half and second half. Not one team put the football on the ground, in terms of a fumble type of situation. All the turnovers came through the air in terms of interceptions by Stafford in the first and second half. But, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, at the end of the day, I was nervous sitting on Cincinnati when they had the ball with about, 8 minutes left. And they had decent field position. They were, on their own 30. And it's like at some point, it's like the momentum, the dam is just going to break after a while. Your defense just can't go out there. And you can't just go three and out, three and out, three and out. They were 3 of 14 on third down conversions.
No, it's true. The defense was they were making it happen. They really were. It was. Listen, the game that I thought it was going to be. I thought that both coaches played a little conservatively, maybe too conservatively. I think that one of you guys brought it up to Mike. Like I thought that Taylor, you know, George, I thought Taylor could have did a lot more. I know that he wasn't having a lot of time back there. Whether everybody's getting on him this morning about he should have threw more screens, he should have threw more of this. I didn't think Taylor did very well after he got the lead in that football game in the second half, as he just kept letting him tee off on Burrow, George.
Yeah, I think it was Scott Wetzel kept bringing it up last night that after they got the lead, they went 5 drives and went 60 yards. That's 12 yards a drive. Yeah, that's, I mean, you allowed the Rams to stay in the game, right? It's really what you allowed the Rams to stay in the game. Wetzel also brought up about the screen passes. I keep bringing up that, hey, Joe Mixon, it was 4.8 yards a carry, and you ignored him. You know, they had 4 plays last night. It was 3rd-and-1 and 4th-and-1. Not only did Joe Mixon not get any of those plays, he wasn't even on the field. 4.8 yards a carry. What do you want the guy to do?
That was very strange. What was he doing there? Why didn't he have Mixon on the field for those short yardage plays? What was that?
Well, that P. Ryan's the bigger back, so he's the better blocker.
P. Ryan is a hack. He's a hack.
He is a hack. The guy's 100 years old since he played in Norman for Oklahoma. Can we stop already? I mean, again, this is Zach Taylor.
This is the Super Bowl. I mean, this is the Super Bowl. You got to have your best players on the field in the biggest situations, and you can't put that hack. You can't put that hack P. Ryan out there on 3rd-and-short and 4th-and-short. You can't do it.
What I don't understand is, what did he see that said, okay, we have to run the football? I understand you want to keep them off guard, but on that drive, they weren't getting pressure on Burrow until the final 4th-and-1. He wasn't pressured. He hit Chase. Bing! He hits Boyd. Bing! They're cooking, baby. Why does he stop? You got the hot guy. You got Joey Silk. Why not just let him roll, baby?
Joey Silk. What'd you think of Joey Silk going?
Joey Silk. Don't even start, because we're gonna get into an argument. I thought he played well. I thought he played good.
I didn't say he didn't play well. I thought in the second half was exactly what I thought was gonna happen. I didn't think it would be his fault and that he would be eaten alive. That's what I thought was gonna happen to him in this football game. It didn't happen until the second half, but that's how I thought it was going to go. We know that their line has been a problem all year. And now they have, what is it, $63 million in cap space, and now they have a draft where they...
But they don't spend it.
Well, they want to take the next step, they're going to have to spend it, because in all honesty, I think this is a 1 year off for them. I don't think this is a team that you're going to see back in the Super Bowl next year. I think they have a very, very good quarterback. I think they have a very good wide receiver, young wide receiver. And Higgins is very good, too. But I think this is going to be like, you know, Bengals made it. Nice run. Didn't get it done at the end. AFC is a monster the next few years with Mahomes and with Allen and with Herbert and with all these guys that are in the mix. I think this is a one-off for Cincinnati. In fact, as soon as they post the number, I'm taking the under.
They just posted a 20. Well, not the total.
Well, I want the total I'm talking about.
21-1 to win the Super Bowl. I'm going to anoint your Buffalo Bills as the front runner. I mean, I think Kansas City, they're done. Now we talk about internal rumblings with Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid. They were supposed to visit over the weekend in terms of whether he'll be the offensive coordinator. That it's yours for the taking, Carver. Your guy, your boy, Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley.
Yeah,
that defense in Buffalo, upstate New York, blue collar Bills mafia. That's it. The bullseye's on your back, baby. 7-1 shot. Bet it now, because it's not going to be there in the month of October.
Trust me, the last thing I wanted to see when I woke up this morning was the Bills as the co-favorites to win the Super Bowl next year. It's the absolute last thing that I wanted to see. So
let me ask you this. You think they start slow? Could they afford a slow start the way they did this year against the Pittsburgh Steelers right out of the gate, winning 10-0?
I got to see what they've got. I mean, obviously these things are hard to look at this far in advance, because teams are sometimes a lot different than we think they're going to be. It's hard to look at next year's schedule and base it off of this year's teams. Things go wrong, but if you just did that, I mean, the Bills have an absolute bear of a schedule next year. I mean, their schedule is ridiculous. I mean, they play the Rams, they play the Chiefs, they play the Titans, they play a lot of really, really good teams next year. They play the whole AFC West, which, as we know, is on the rise. They play the Packers, which looks like Rodgers is going to be back. I mean, the Bills are – they got a monster schedule next year.
You know what the best bet on the board is early on?
What's that, Joe?
Tennessee, 24-1. We know as long as Derrick Henry's healthy.
Who's playing quarterback?
No, well, that's the problem. I hate
that's the problem.
But at the end, but at the end of the day, they can run their way to a division title, and then you're in there. Think of it that way.
The good thing is we got all week to talk about this. Talk about next week.
Next 6 days to talk about it.
George, don't be a downer, okay? All right? Don't be negative.
Listen, until baseball figures their crap out, I'm going to be a downer.
That's not even a sport as far as is Jack Morris still playing?
We'll have you betting baseball. Don't worry.
Oh, Joe's getting involved in everything. Joe, for the next 200-plus days, Joe's in the mix. I mean, we're going to get him in on the hockey, the golf. He's going to be involved in everything.
The golf is the worst when Dubsy comes on. He always gets me involved, and trust me, I follow golf to a degree. Last day of any major tournament, last day is when you jump in. Jump in 2 feet in the
pond
on a Sunday.
Wow, we get Joe on the Sunday of the Masters, betting the guy 3 strokes back, looking to get him on a charge in the back nine.
Yeah, there you go.
George in the mix. And we'll get Joe in the mix.
Do they have any major tournaments in Orlando?
Orlando. They do play the players down in Florida. I'll have to look and see who the players is this year.
One of my favorite golfers of all time, Seve Ballesteros. Seve Ballesteros. The late Seve.
Is he the one that did the sword thing?
Here we go. Yes.
That Chi-Chi. He was a sword thing?
That was Chi-Chi like Rodriguez.
But that's Chi-Chi okay.
I like personalities like that.
Georgie. Gentleman George Kurtz.
Well, got the rest of
the... Where was the referee in the Buffalo Jets game? Giving him the business down there? Giving him the business. That was great. Ron Luciano, the ex-umpire, all his antics when somebody was out. That was kind of fun.
Pro Football Full Circle. Mike Harvard, Joe Lisi, and George Kurtz coming with you here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We'll come right back on the grid. We will wrap it up right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And we're back. Pro Football Full Circle. Carver, Lisi, and Kurtz here with you. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 159, coming to you the day after Super Bowl 56. The Rams, of course, with the win over the Bengals. 23-20, closing the book on another NFL season. Good for the Rams. Man, you guys are right about before. You guys were talking to Blewett about this, the Stafford stuff. Like, there's people who think that, like, he's, like, a Hall of Famer now. I mean, I think he's better than... what people give him credit, some people give him credit for, but he's also not as good as some people are talking today. Jeez, we need to find some middle ground with Matthew Stafford. Let's relax with Hall of Fame. I mean, there's no middle. It's either he's a Hall of Famer or he's an absolute, you know, stiff. Can we get in the middle here a little bit, Joe? I mean,
he's
honestly.
A good player, not elite. I said this about Cooper Kupp last night that they jumped all over me. I'll just
that's
say,
not
Cooper
fair.
Kupp,
don't start the Kupp thing.
I just said Cooper Kupp is not Jerry Rice. That's all I say. He's a great wide receiver in today's game. I'm not ready to put him with the greats of the game, but Cooper Kupp, deservingly of the MVP, great performance this year. That's all I'm going to say.
I mean, I'll say one thing, George. They got to keep Kupp away from the microphone. Oh, was that tough?
Why? Ooh. He was bad last night?
Ooh. Yeah, he wasn't great. Yeah, I saw the replays of it.
He's not good with a mic.
No?
Well, there's some people believe that he may have got on that one before he actually caught the touchdown, he may have got slammed in his head
there.
Yes,
and I think that might have had, you're right, George. Maybe that had something to do with it. Because he didn't seem very
loopy.
Right after that game. Yeah, where was the spotter on that one? Where was the spotter after that hit? Like, seriously, like, all they talk about is, oh, you know, we take care of the players. We do They weren't taking care of him there. He shouldn't have been in that game any longer. All right, Pro Football Full Circle, Carver, Lisi, Kurtz. Great job, as always, by Andrew Torres. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 159. We'll see you tomorrow as we start getting ready. Hey, one season ends, another one begins. We start moving ahead on the grid tomorrow here on Pro Football Full Circle.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.